read me romance, read, read me romance, read me romance, read, read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine, or you could sit back, relax and unwind and read me romance, read, read me romance.
Hi,
it's hey everybody.
Hey.
You've all already abandoned New Year's diet.
They're not abandoning it yet. Or if they're choosing something new off the Chinese menu, okay? They're still sticking with that.
Last year, I really did try to go to the gym in January. It's so, and it's the worst idea because everybody has the same... It's so crowded and it's so awkward because you're just like, you've got this half a square inch of real estate in whatever class you're
taking. I'm dreading it because I go to the gym on the regular and I'm like, this place is going to be so full. I'm not coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to go run outside or something.
You're just going to mad dog all the newbies. You're going to be like, nice try. Nice try. Let's see if you last till February, asshole.
Why are you on my bike?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get off my lawn. So we're here for the last installment of Rolling the Dice by Alessandra Torre, which we're really, really excited about.
Absolutely.
It's like mega hot. I think they're already knee deep in the hotness at this point.
Mel, I want to hear this story that you've been teasing me with all morning about you and your husband. You're like, I have a question to ask you, but I'm going to wait till we're recording. So hit me with it.
Oh, okay. So in the Facebook group for Read Me Romance, which you should join, it's in our quick link, I shared my sweater the other day and it said Santa's favorite hoe. So then everybody at family dinner was like, Rob needs a Santa shirt. Rob's my husband. And I had ordered myself one, and it came, and he was just going to wear it instead of me. And on it, it's got a picture of Santa, and it says, slaying all day, which is what my shirt says right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
I slay all day. And he's like, you're not slaying all day. And I'm like, yeah, I bust my ass all day. He's like, slaying is sex. I was like, no, slaying's like, I'm killing it. And he's like, no, slaying is I'm fucking all the time. And so now we're both fighting over what slaying it means.
I mean, you could say like, that pussy, but I don't think slaying.
Yeah, you could use it as a descriptive word, like, but I don't feel like slay is a noun, like, right? Like, slay isn't sex. Like, slaying would be like. Like you said, it's an adjective, the way to describe having sex.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what, like, I would think, too.
I'm killing it.
I would say,
like,
that's what it means.
Yeah, Rob's wrong.
Yeah, he's wrong. Shocking, a man is wrong.
We are recording
okay,
this.
Okay, record that. Let me
record
that loud.
This is recording. We're live right now.
Well, he's not going to hear it
Shit.
For like a
well,
month.
Well, tell him he was wrong.
Wait, speaking of shirts, though, like, I got a package in the mail the other day, so I wasn't expecting anything, so I come inside.
I forgot.
Thought I forgot?
Oh, I did.
So I come inside, I open it up, and it's, like, this black hoodie, a medium. Just thought I'd mention that. I'm definitely not a medium, but I got it over my head, and it says, a little bit hippie, a little bit
hood.
Oh,
no,
you
didn't
like,
say what? No, she's.
Who would send me such
a
thing?
Picture. Go ahead. Yeah.
Wait.
Try to defend this.
Well, at first, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that I'm like a suburban soccer mom. If I walk down the street with a shirt that says I'm hood, I feel like everybody should just kick my ass. So I sent it, like, I just texted Leah and Mel, and I was like, somebody, like, sent me this stupid shirt. I was like, how come Leah gets, like, a package from Jelly Belly, and I get this hood shirt, and Mel was like, I sent
you
that
shirt. And
then
Tess is like, no. Oh, no. I'm like, going to walk into traffic.
This is how she said, we always say
every
she steps
time,
in
every
it.
Every chance you get,
oh,
Tessa,
my God.
You step in it.
If you knew how much that was my worst nightmare, it's like, I will wake up in a cold sweat 10 years from now thinking about that.
No, it's actually, because Tessa doesn't know, but Leah does. If I see any t-shirt that reminds you of me and we're friends, I buy it and send it to you, even if it's hideous. Like, Jen Frederick got one from me that's got, like, weird Beyoncé's just, dancing on it.
It's her thing.
I just send them.
Weird Beyoncé's.
Well, I thought a little bit hippie, a little bit hood, because we had said, you know, you're sometimes you're so like, yes, that would be awesome and wonderful. And then sometimes you're like, no, that'll never work. It'll die in a fire. And I'm like, she's a little bit hippie from her California and a little bit hood from New York.
No, it you're does just fit. You're just an unappreciative cunt, like, feel like you're really paying attention. You're saying. That makes me feel even worse.
The yes. fact that you said you were gonna go walk in traffic killed me, though. I wanted to die. That was awesome.
It's like, yep. I'm just gonna go walk into traffic now. So this week we asked Read Me Romance headquarters for some questions, that if anybody had any questions for us to answer. So we figured, since this is the last episode of season one of Read Me Romance, that I figured we'd ask answer a couple questions. Are you guys ready?
I guess.
Okay, so the first one is for you guys. It's from Courtney. She wants to know if Alexa Riley is going to be expanding into erotic historical romance.
I don't know.
I want to know, too.
I don't know.
Historical? Well, write you one if really you want one. I mean, it wasn't on our to-do list. If you want one, we take suggestions all the time. We've probably got 5 or 6 books from the requests, book, and we're like, "Unexpected all right, we'll write Claim." It.
Remember that one? That was a reader said in like an Alexa's Addict. Like in like they said one time, they're like, "Oh, I want a book about a hero that goes to a sex club for the first time." But they were like, "But you know, how do you do it and make it virgins?" And we're like, watch this. And then we wrote that. Yeah.
Watch this. We can do anything. We say that if you give me a second, I will fix in a plot to make it Alexa style.
Yeah.
I don't care what and then, it is.
Another one we
I'll
did was the Protecting Freedom. Somebody messaged us and was like, oh, can you write a book like the movie with Mandy Moore chasing liberty? And we were like, sure, fuck it. July 4th is coming up.
And somebody wanted the dad with the baby. Yeah,
somebody said they wanted a single dad. What was the name of that one? We just did that. Fuck, that was not what the whole package. No, that was the other.
Oh yeah, no, that was the girl with the sister.
What was the name of that one? It was like but it was the single dad.
Do you guys keep a list?
Yeah, we have to.
You should keep a list of your own books.
No, I have to because we've actually named like 4 heroes Alex. We were like, oh, shit, when somebody pointed out to us, we had to stop. And, like, I was like, all right, we got to make a list. So I have an ongoing list of, like, book names and stuff. We have over 100 titles in, like, 5 years. So that's a lot to keep up with in that amount of time. So, yeah.
Well, the way Courtney asked the question, I figured you guys had been, like, teasing one something. But, okay, so not any plans, but maybe might table the idea.
Actually, listening to your Renaissance Man made me really want to do one. Like, listening your week 2 on Read Me Romance, shameless plug if this is your first time listening, go back and listen to Renaissance Man. It might be my favorite Read Me Romance of season 1. It was so good. It was so good.
Oh my god.
Fuck you.
Such a kiss ass. Yeah.
It wasn't Tessa. Fuck you. I mean, obviously after Closer.
Okay. After Closer is my favorite. It was just like so I didn't stop smiling the whole time. It was just my whole face was just like she gets into the limo and there's just a Kindle and and chocolates.
You still talking
and I was
about
like,
that.
What?
That, could be that was still your favorite.
Still talking
part.
About it.
Yeah, Tessa's not hard to please. For Christmas, everyone give her preloaded Kindles on the way to a spa day. Marriage material.
Marriage material.
That was the name of our single dad book.
That's a single dad book. Okay. I have to make sure we're writing down the titles of all these books.
I'm not doing that.
Okay. Marriage material. Okay, we'll put that link in the in the show notes. That's what they're called, by the way. I've been calling them episode descriptions for the entire season, and then we advertised this podcast on another podcast, and the professional sounding lady was like, "Oh, and the links are in the show notes." And I was like, "Okay, now I'm learning how to be a podcaster after 10
weeks." In the show
weeks.
Notes. That's so fucking fancy.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I can't wait to say that.
I'm going
to
use it now.
Super stuck up about it.
Oh, be really smug.
Like, in the show
notes. Okay, so when does season two start? Anna wants to know, and the answer to that is...
next week.
Yeah, next week. We're not having a... there's no gap.
Reaper's
maybe we should have
here.
Built in a, like a hiatus gap,
that.
But we didn't.
No. They will
that.
Never leave us, Tessa.
I was like, maybe we should do like 2 weeks off. Mel's like, absolutely not. They'll forget about us.
Why you get an Alexa book like every 10 days. I'm like, you will not forget us. We're right here. Still standing right fucking here. Where
you
going?
Going?
Come back here.
A lot of people are asking about Saturday episodes like and Facebook Lives and author spotlights. And so like we're going to start incorporating all of that probably now-ish. But we're just like trying to get, I think we were just trying to get like season one squared away and like learn how to do this. But now we're going to start, you know, expanding and coming up with new, we have so many new ideas and so many innovative ideas. We're just like waiting to pull the trigger. So I think people want to hear from the authors most of all. So we have to figure out a way for, you know, like the authors to talk to you guys instead of just us. I mean, like maybe pre-recorded segments or maybe we do interviews, but we're gonna figure stuff out. So stay tuned for that in the upcoming seasons. Okay, so Star would like to know, what's a book that you would recommend to someone who'd never read a romance novel?
Oh, a book of hours or a book in general?
Any book, any romance book that like if somebody came to you and they'd never read a romance novel, like
That's
what
so
would be
broad.
The one you'd recommend to hook them?
That's so broad because...
yeah, I have a couple.
I was going to say, like... to me, I would ask a couple of questions like, what kind of romance are you looking for? Because there's just, that's such a vast genre. But go ahead, Tessa, tell me what you got. And I'll tell you if you're wrong.
Well, while you guys are, I just want to give you some time to think. Okay. Well, so I stopped reading romance for a long time. Like, I think right before I got pregnant, I stopped reading romance and I didn't read any for maybe like a year. I guess it was just a slump or I was just, I don't know, like
sometimes
focusing on other
break.
Things.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so, well, I wasn't writing at the time, but I, you know, had a postpartum depression, like not a serious one, but I was definitely like really deep in those baby blues. And I picked up Seduction and Snacks by Tara Sivek.
Oh, yeah.
And I laughed for the first time in like months.
Aww,
it was such a funny
so
book.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I got to tell her that in person, actually, at my first RT convention.
Aww.
Yeah, it like helped me through. I was like, I laughed so hard from the first page on. And it's like about this couple has a one night stand in college and then she leaves thinking like, oh my God, I just hooked up with a guy and he's not going to want anything serious. So she leaves and he's been searching for her for years.
Aww, I love that.
And then he smells her. He smells her at like a party and she smells like chocolate because she's a baker. And he's like, I've been looking for you all this time, you know? And I think it's a secret baby book, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
I'm awake. What's up? No.
Seduction and Snacks by Tara Sivek. She's really
is
the
Tara,
fun, one of the funniest.
Is it Tara? Is
it's
it Tara?
Tara.
I've been saying it wrong.
I know that because
time.
I called her Tara.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's like you never say these names out loud. You just see them on the internet.
Yeah.
So then when you have to say them out loud, it's a crapshoot.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I think if I had to recommend somebody, it would be probably Aurora Rose. She gives you a good mix
like angst,
of funny, of alpha, of, so, and then you can binge on her too, and she goes through the whole families, and so it's just an all-around good book. And there's always, like, something suspenseful happening where somebody's being stalked or this or that. So that would
Mine
be
is
my
always,
recommendation for sure.
I always preface it by saying, like, if they have any hint of, like, paranormal, I always say Lauren Donner, Fury. She's always my go-to.
Oh,
now,
my
somebody
God.
Won't read sci-fi or they don't want anything paranormal, whatever, for whatever reason, I probably wouldn't. But I would still strongly suggest it. That she's always my first one. So it's Lauren Donner's Fury. Like, it's...
That's how I got my mom on romance books. And now she's an audio junkie.
It's just because...
was Lauren Donner.
What's the Lauren Donner book that
the
you
Fury,
recommend?
That's,
the
Fury.
Fury's
the beginning.
Star
from
the beginning.
They're all named
Fury.
Like, there's, you know, like, Fury, Slade, Valiant. Like, they're... Justice, like, they all have single title names. It's all the names of the heroes. And so, like, it's just incredibly amazing. It's so interesting and different and fun. And it's hot as shit. It's so good.
And whenever I'm in a funky mood, I know the exact places mm-hmm. to go and those audiobooks to play for like an hour that'll make me like yeah, more peppy and happy.
So I always recommend those for like a first time read. So there you go.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's good. I feel like we could go on forever about this, but I'll move on. Okay. So when did how did you guys meet?
The three of us?
No, we talked about how we met, right? But how did you two?
Did we not talk about
it? Yeah, no, how did you two meet?
Oh, I thought we talked about it.
I asked, I think we did, but over Lauren Donner, I asked for more reviewers on the blog I was doing, and somehow she got my work email and was like, I love Lauren Donner. I'm like, let's go. You're hired.
So I started writing reviews for Mel's blog. Yeah.
And that's where it went.
That's awesome.
That's how we met.
Okay, when did you guys know you wanted to be writers?
I knew at RT Dallas. We were sitting at a table and somebody kept talking about we all kept talking about Cara D has a daddy book. And I'd never really touched on daddy before then, but we had read it. And it's actually where we met Jeanette too. And we talked about this daddy book all day. You could have read it seven times by the time we were done. And I was like, we can write this book. And we were kind of like, I don't know. I was like, let's just fucking try it. And we were okay, let's try it. I think people think we went into blogging thinking we were going to write, which we didn't. I was like an accountant. But it just randomly sprung at us, and I know it was, RT it was in Dallas.
New Orleans, actually. Dallas was the next year, but it was in New Orleans. It was RT New Orleans, but no.
Wait, did we didn't know each other in New Orleans? No. I didn't talk to you guys in New Orleans.
The first time we met you was in Dallas. That was the... We had already written like three or four books by that point.
Yeah, I remember you being secretive, And throwing things at me in the lobby bar. Do you guys remember that?
I remember you always throw dicks. Was it a dick? And like, I went and sat down beside you and I was like, why aren't you self-publishing? I think that was like the first thing I said to you. And you were like, I don't know.
Yeah. And then 3 years later, I listened.
But actually, like, when did you know you wanted to be a writer, Tessa?
Oh, I feel like all my answers are like really sentimental now. I'm not meaning for it to come out like that.
Yeah.
Make somebody cry. I want to see Leo cry. Let's go.
Okay, goddamn it. So I always wanted to be a romance writer. Like, I just never really thought I could do it. But then when my daughter was born, I realized that I was just like a slacker with no skills. I didn't have a college degree. And I was like, I have to figure out what I'm good at because I have to provide for this kid. So Hurricane Sandy happened. And my husband was out of work for 6 weeks because the bar where he works got flooded. And I was like, I need to do something. I need to like make a fucking move because I'm not going to get another chance. He's going to go back to work and I'm home with the baby. So I just like locked myself in a room and wrote Protecting What's His, which is my first book. And I wrote it in like 3 weeks. And I was like, I said, this is probably shit because who writes a book in 3 weeks? Like, of course, now everybody writes a book in 3 weeks. But so I like just sent it on a whim to Entangled and I got an email back a week later.
It really was just like, oh my God, that's so sweet.
I did too.
The only thing that ever that motivate, I'm motivated by two things, fear of not being able to provide for my daughter and, oh wait, no, that's it. That's just one thing.
No, Nat, I've noticed now you're motivated by natural disasters.
Yeah. Thank God for that hurricane. Because you fucked your husband. Like, knocked everybody's power out.
And you wrote a book the next time.
Well, I will say that.
I didn't mean that, guys.
I will say that I never thought I could do it. I always wanted to be a writer. I always wanted to do something like that. And I always felt like I had a book inside me, but I never felt like I could do it or that I was capable of it without Eagle. I mean, she was the one who really encouraged us, like, you know, and I said it before when we recorded Jen's week, like, Jen was the one that showed us how to do everything and held our hands and cheered for us. But, like, if Eagle really, if she wouldn't have looked at us and said, you know, you can do this. You are capable. I believe in you. Like, it wouldn't have ever happened. So.
That's awesome.
Because we just thought we're not writers. And Eagle was like, put it down and I'll smooth it out for you if there's problems, if it's not flowing right. And we're like, okay. So we felt more confident knowing someone of her intellect was going to go over it and really smooth it for us.
Now she edits
it. Like even. Yeah. Of mine, all my self-publishing stuff too, she does. I honestly, she just has this way of like letting you know what's wrong without, I don't know. It's like the subtlest of suggestions.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah.
It's like, you're
it's great.
You're totally right. I am terrible. Like, in the nicest way possible.
Okay. So Brandy suggested we do Fuck, Marry, Kill, but that's too hard for, that's like too many things to remember. Like, by the time you get to the third name, I already forgot the first person.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's hard.
I can't do Fuck, Marry, Kill.
I have to have pictures in front of me to do that. Because I have to.
But I did do a couple of Who'd You Rathers, and I did a Disney edition.
Yes!
Okay. Okay, I've got four here. Who'd you rather, Eric or King Triton?
King Triton.
In the Little Mermaid.
Wait, we're fucking, right? Is that what this says?
Who'd you rather sleep with?
Yeah, he is.
Is King Triton the dad?
Oh, daddy.
All right, keep in mind he has a tail.
I don't give a shit. I'm not going to be with that pretty boy.
I haven't seen The Shape of Water yet. Should I?
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Okay. All right. So this is going to get into questionable territory, but I'm going to go for it because we're all friends here. All right. Okay. Would you rather sleep with the Beast from Beauty and the Beast or the Beast when he turns back into a human?
The Beast. Beast. Yeah, Beast when he's a Beast.
When he's a Beast.
All right.
I always hated that he turned back to human. It was like, that's not...
Did you guys see the live action one? When he turns back into the human, I was like, Cousin Matthew! No!
Jill? Oh my god. Okay, real quick. What is her pen name? Jessica Claire's Paranormal. Jill Myers? Something like that. She has a book. I'm going to have to find the name. And it's Beauty and the Beast. And when he's fucking her up against the table, like doggy style, he's still in beast form. His hooves are like dragging into the ground. He's fucking her so hard.
Get the
hard.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the name of it?
Holy shit. Okay, I got to find it. Okay, keep asking.
But
I'll
have to write
it
down
right now.
Because I promised everybody that I was going to start keeping track of all the books we talk about.
We're still not doing it.
No, I am. I'm writing it down. Okay. I feel like I've only gotten a few. Okay.
Jill Miles. I know it's Jill Miles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were a lion, Mufasa or Scar?
Ooh, Scar. No.
I had to be one of
fuck
them?
Fuck one of them. But if you're a lion... Not if you're a human.
I think Scar. Right? I think he'd say the most fucked up shit when we were having sex.
Like, he was a big old daddy. But Scar was kind of skinny, but yeah, he'd be like, oh, what was it I texted you the other day, Mel, that you were like, why does that turn me on? When I was like, he'd fuck you raw and call you his mom's name. You're like, what does that turn me on?
Yes. She was like, he would be fucking me and saying his mom's name. And I was like, my body just had the weirdest reaction to this. I don't know what to do with myself.
That'd be Scar, for sure. So, I mean, I'd probably go Scar.
Okay, it is. Okay. It's the Beast Bride. And she goes back in time because she dies. And her fairy godmother comes back and she said, I'll bring you back to life if you can get Bella to fall for the Beast. And she shows up and now she's Bella's stepsister. And she tries to get her to fall for the Beast. And of course, when they show up, the Beast isn't paying attention to the beautiful sister. He's like looking at her.
Did you guys see that, I don't know if it was BuzzFeed that sent it around yesterday about that there's like a wildlife photograph of a lion mating his lioness, and he's got this big old like grin on his face while it's happening. I tagged you guys in it.
I didn't see it.
I tagged you guys in
it. I'm gonna have to go look now.
Oh my god, it's so funny. He's like, yeah. His like big old teeth are showing.
I love it.
And they're doing it missionary style, and I didn't even know that lions could do it missionary style.
Okay, so
the
who would you pick? Mufasa or Scar?
I'm a Mufasa girl. Put that on a t-shirt, please.
I'm a Mufasa girl. I got it.
I'm a Mufasa girl. I like a big, robust, good guy type.
Barrel-chested daddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Captain America's my favorite.
Yeah, you still want that nasty scar up in it. Okay, just saying.
Only because I think I only said that because your text the other day is still lingering in my mind. And I'm not sure what to do with it. So maybe Mufasa can get it out of there. Or Scar, sorry.
All right.
Okay, so I have one more. Okay, Jafar, Aladdin, or the genie.
Genie. Absolutely.
Really? You just like the blue guys because of that Ruby Dixon series, right?
No, I like the genie.
You just got a thing for blue guys.
He can give me what I want. It's multiple orgasms.
Oh, you're right.
Fuck you. Like, nobody stopped this thing. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm just the one that wrote the question. Of course I didn't think about it.
Absolutely the genie.
That's a really good point.
You could actually say deeper and he could make it happen. Yep. He's not bottomed out.
They should make a sequel to Aladdin where a girl gets, like, girl opens the lamp and gets
the
genie.
He's freed now.
And
he's not there anymore.
Is that better be a porno already or else someone needs
to
call me.
That's absolutely a porno.
We gotta get this shit happening.
I saw a preview for a Power Ranger one the other day. My husband sent it to me. It's like a legit movie on Pornhub. It's a Power Ranger movie with, like, bad guys and everything.
Your husband
does the best
memes
and links.
Images.
I don't want to know.
I don't know
the
where
dark
he gets
web.
Them, but he kills me.
It was he sent one the other day. I sent it to Mel, and I was like, oh, my fucking God. And it was this guy, and he's standing there in, like, a full suit. And then she's like, oh, we can't. You'll be late for work. And he, like, takes everything off except his socks. And he says, make me late, bitch. He sent me that, and I was like, okay, I get it.
Okay, that's all. Next week on the podcast, we have Mated to the Reaper by Alexa Riley. So, you guys, I've been getting emails from you for fucking months asking for this book, so you better show up.
Sorry, this is gonna suck. Everybody's gonna hate it. Should we play? Like,
yeah, right.
Is this it? Like, have we played how we're supposed to play? We haven't played the last chapter yet, have we?
Yeah, we got to play the last chapter of Alessandra Torre rolling the dice. So, should I have waited till after the
podcast?
No, after the break
I was just
to,
thinking
about.
Well, I got confused about the space time continuum there for a minute. I was like, wait, what day is it?
Well, we've been talking for half an hour, so it's reasonable that you think we've already played the. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and play the final chapter of Rolling the Dice, and we'll catch up with you guys on the other side. Enjoy.
Bye.
Chapter 6. Trip. If she was nervous, she didn't show it. She worked her way up the bed and grabbed two of the chrome spindles, watching with interest as he clipped each of her wrists to the bed, giving her enough freedom to move around without being able to touch him. "Done this before?" she asked dryly. He met her eyes. "Yes." It wasn't the most romantic answer in the world. Then again, with everything he was about to do to her, romance wasn't exactly part of the equation. Still, he felt the need to soften the statement. "But never with a woman like you." He ran his hands down her arms and over her breasts, skimming along her stomach and to her thighs, pressing them open and staring down at her smooth, bare pussy. She was perfect. Every fold, the pink rainbow of skin, moist and wet. Her breath quickened, and he watched as it flared, calling to him. She tried to pin her knees together, and he tightened his grip, holding her open, and lowered his mouth, blowing a breath over her before he closed the distance and took her into his mouth. She came alive, her body moving, the handcuffs rattling, her back arching off the ground. He did little, keeping his mouth soft his tongue gently exploring, and he listened as she moaned, then went silent, then tensed. She was a road map, easy to read, and he waited until he found her direction, her cries hitting a new pitch, her thighs tensing under his hands, and then he held it, his tongue light and constant, keeping the rhythm as she pulsed and shuddered under his mouth. He lowered himself to the bed, his dick straining for stimulation, the sounds of her so erotic he could barely keep his head straight. He fucked the mattress as he pleased her, and when she came, he had to lift his hips off the bed just to keep his own orgasm at bay. She cried out his name, bucking her hips, and he let her thighs go. They closed around his head, pinning his mouth to hers as she rutted against his face without abandon, her groans turning into grunts as she wheezed out of breath, her muscles loosening, thighs falling open, and he softened everything, his mouth gently mellowing as her orgasm faded. "Fuck me sideways," she breathed. "That was insane." She had no fucking idea. He reached up on the bed and knocked open one handcuff, then the other. Yanking open the bedside table, he grabbed a foil condom and stuck it in his mouth, moving back on the bed, his need for her overriding any ability to stick to the plan, take it slow, and seduce her. He ripped open the package and pulled out the condom. "I need to fuck you." She pulled her knees up, her legs open, and looked at him through hooded eyes. "Please." He barely had the condom on before he was between her open legs, his cock crying for contact. He put the tip of it against her and stopped. "What?" she gasped. "What are you doing?" His brain, which had been paralyzed with arousal during her orgasm, reawoke. He took a moment and looked over her. Her skin was flushed, her nipples hard, a sheen of sweat across her chest. Her hair, always so prim and perfect, was loose across his pillow, her eyes heavy with pleasure, her legs open for him. Her pussy was wet and ready, the taste of her sweetness still on his tongue. This was Stephanie fucking Wilson, his future, his heart, and he had her. He had her for one fucking night, and he was about to fuck her before he'd even kissed her. He lowered himself above her and ignored the needy thrust of her hips, her greedy pussy trying to get at his dick. He placed a soft kiss on her left breast, then her right, silently promising them another 1,000 kisses in the future. He moved up her neck, and she cried out his name, her hands clutching at him, her wet pussy bumping against his hips. He paused, just over her lips, and met her eyes. "You have no idea how long I've wanted this," he said huskily. "I need you," she begged. "Please." He lowered his mouth to hers and kissed her. It was brief, a brush of lips, and he positioned his hips above hers, stealing another kiss, this one deeper, her tongue meeting his, a tiny fire of chemistry sparking. His dick found its home, and he gently thrust, her inhale captured against his tongue. He withdrew and thrust again, a little deeper, her body gripping him like a glove, a warm, tight glove that he never wanted to leave. She was perfect, her pussy greedy, flexing and squeezing, her voice urging him on as her hands clawed at his back. His worry of her pain dissolved in her pleasure, her body opening and adjusting quickly, and he pushed deeper into her than he'd ever gone in a woman before. "Is it?" She screamed his name, her heels digging into him, and when he pulled back to see her face, the look of her orgasm took him over the edge. His thighs tightened, his breaths turning into animalistic grunts, and he quickened his motion, his pleasure peaking, and he groaned as his cock sprayed forth his release.
Chapter 7. Stephanie. I was in his shower, running a thick washcloth over my shoulders when the power went out. The bathroom was suddenly dark, the water still running, and I quickly rinsed off and twisted the knob, stopping the spray. I heard the door open and a faint bit of light entered the room.
You okay?
Trip called out. Yeah. I could see the shower door handle gleam in the dim light, and I reached for it, cautiously stepping out. Can you pass me a towel? I reached out and was surprised when I felt the fluffy towel wrap around me, his body bumping against me, and he worked it over me, gently rubbing my shoulders, then back, taking his time and drying my breasts, before shimmying it down my body and over my legs. I laughed. I feel like a dog. I felt his lips, the scruff of his stubble as he brushed a kiss onto my shoulder.
Stay here.
There was the sound of a door in the dark, and then he worked my arms through a bathrobe and cinched it around me. He opened the door fully and tugged on my hand, bringing me through the dressing area and into his bedroom. The far wall was all dark windows, and I glanced for his bedside table clock, then remembered the power outage. What time is it?
Almost 9.
It was ominous how dark it was. A streak of lightning hit the horizon, and everything was illuminated for a moment. I gasped at the sight, the waves rough, the huge clouds everywhere bearing down on us.
Come in the living room. You can see everything there.
I followed him into the open room, and he was right. The view there was of the south end of the building, emergency spotlights illuminating the area, and as I approached the window, I could see down to the road, the storm surge colliding with the levees, water spraying over the edge and coating the street. I thought of my car up in the parking garage and was glad our employee section was several floors up. I heard a snap and turned. The glow of a flame moving through the dark and lighting two candles on a table by the window. I slid my hands into the robe pocket and moved closer to the flame. Did I see a fireplace?
I'll light it if it cools down a bit. I don't want to cook us in here.
He smiled at me, the candlelight flickering off his face. Good point. Thunder clapped and I glanced toward the sound. Think we're safe?
This building is the strongest thing in the county. There's no safer place than right here.
There was a crackle of static and he picked up a walkie-talkie, holding it up to his mouth and speaking into it, issuing a string of commands and waiting as one by one managers and security reported in. Power was out in the entire building. Emergency generators had the electronic lock systems operational, along with all security systems, cameras, and common area lights. So far, no problems to report. He grabbed onto the end of a couch and drug it over to the window, setting it at an angle where we could view the levees and the waterfront row of shops and restaurants that lined the water. He sat down on the end of the couch and I settled next to him, curling up against his side.
You hungry?
Not really. I had a snack in the bar. I thought of the shrimp cocktail appetizer and how nervous I had been while eating it. It seemed silly now. My nerves and my fear of him, especially since he had seemed to harbor a secret attraction to me for all this time. I tilted my head back, looking up into his face. So you mentioned earlier that you told Dario to stay away from me.
That's right.
He shifted, swinging his legs up on the couch and repositioning me so that I was lying on top of him.
I told him that you were mine.
The authoritative tone in his voice was one that sent a trickle of happiness up my spine. Do you often warn Dario off of women?
I never have before.
He tugged at the tie on my robe, loosening the knot.
And you're the only woman I would have done it over.
But I thought of all of the years I'd worked in the tower, all of the intimidating looks he'd sent my way, all of the times he'd chewed me out or ignored me completely. You've always been so...
much of a jerk,
he suggested, sliding his hand into the open neck of my robe, his palm warm. I curved into his touch. That's one way to put it.
I was always afraid you would reject me. I was focused on upper management. I thought, once I got there, that you'd see me in a different light.
I looked up at him. His dark hair was messy, a result of my fingers.
The candlelight danced across his features, and I admired the strong cut of his nose, the dark gleam of his eyes. He was an asshole, but he suddenly felt like my asshole. And I had the feeling, if I was his, that he'd fight off the world to protect me. I swallowed. I like the light I see you in right now.
Good.
He scowled, but it seemed like more of a smile.
These candles are cheap. I'll make sure to swap out those lamps in accounting and replace it with these.
I laughed. No, I mean, I like the trip I've seen tonight. I never needed a fancy title or a suite like this. His hand played over my stomach and rose higher, cresting gently along the curve of my breasts, the soft tips of my nipples. I inhaled at his touch and watched his smile widen.
Levees along the waterfront have broken. Front Street is flooding.
The calm, almost mechanical voice sputtered through the walkie-talkie and I turned, sitting up on the couch. Oh my God, Trip, look! It was almost eerie how slow the water seemed to move. I watched as it swept along the front of the shops, its strength deceptive until it came across something. A bike, leaning against the art shop, vanished into it. The glass window of the little theater crumpled, a spiderweb forming, then disappeared, water gushing through the open hole. I thought of the interior, the velvet folding chairs, the signed memorabilia from actors. All would be destroyed. I stood, walking to the window, and pressed a hand on the glass, reassured by its strength. In here, the air was so still. The whistle of the window muffled, the crash of the waves silent. I felt like I was watching the storm from 1,000 miles away and not a few hundred feet. A waterspout formed, the tiny twister forming, and I watched as the funnel of water grew closer to land, debris kicking up along its path. Trip came up behind me, his arms wrapping around me.
Shit,
he said softly. What's going to happen tomorrow? I watched as a maintenance shed crumpled under the force of the water, the sign bobbing by and then disappearing under the surf.
We'll figure it out. It's a strong town. It'll come back.
And what about us? I turned to face him. What happens with us? He tucked a piece of my bangs behind my ear.
Us is whatever you want it to be.
He watched me closely, and when I smiled, his mouth followed suit. I don't want to lose what happened tonight. I rose on my toes and lifted my chin, wanting a kiss, something to assure me that everything would be all right.
Steph, I've waited a long time for this. If you want something between us, a hurricane couldn't keep me away.
His voice was husky, his touch soft. He pulled me against him, and when he lowered his lips, I found everything I wanted in his kiss. If you'd like to know more about Dario Capece and read his love story, please pick up Even Money, which is currently available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook.
Hey, everybody, we're back.
Hey, welcome.
Okay, I mean, that was
amazing.
That was pretty smoking, you guys. You're going to want to go get some more Alessandra Torre, like, immediately.
Absolutely.
Right? So go pick up Even Money right now. It's 99 cents on KU, and it's on KU. And yeah, Trippin' on a Halo is out. It's in KU. You guys have all kinds of options, so no excuses.
Well, next week is, like we said before we went away, is The Reaper. I'm going to go ahead and try and drop the vampire series. Today, I'm going to try and have it be live today. So if you haven't read the Vampire series, you can go ahead and pick up that bundle for 99 cents in Kindle Unlimited and meet the Reaper now if you want to be prepared for Monday.
I was going to say another one of Alessandra Torre's, you talked about something that was in Kindle Unlimited. Her book Love, Chloe is really cute too. It's more of like her contemporary romance, like her Hollywood Dirt, Moonshot, Tripping on a Halo was a rom-com, kind of like in that vein. So if you're looking for something in KU, Love, Chloe's on there. It's got like...
The Halo one
it's
is
got
too.
Like, Love, Chloe, I just looked, it's got like 400 reviews and it's like a 5-star book, like 5 stars, which is fucking insane. So that's super cute. And I did mention, I know earlier in the week I talked about her Blindfolded Innocence series. So that's actually a trilogy, if you see that. It's Blindfolded Innocence, Unmasked Innocence, and End of Innocence. So that's a trilogy now, and the covers on that are gorgeous.
She has a ton of, I think, almost all of her books might be in Kindle Unlimited now. Are they all in there?
Oh, okay.
So... except that suspense series were talking about. I don't think that's in there. Most everything she has audios for.
Nice. Okay, guys, go grab them up. And again, we'll be back next week with the beginning of season two. Thanks, everybody, for that's like come along for this ride for season one. We've like really enjoyed every second of doing this and meeting all of you guys. And we hope you're enjoying it, too. So rate, review, subscribe. You know, let us know that you love it by... reviewing it on iTunes. That would be would mean a lot to us.
I do want to say real quick, shout it's season one, just shout out to like all of our narrators and everybody who put everything together. And, you know, shout out to Lola, who is our producer and our just sound coordinator, who's done an amazing job on all that. Mayhem, who cover creations, who has done all of our teasers and covers and stuff. Yeah, who is just on the fly all the time for us and always there for us. We appreciate all your hard work on season one. All those people, we just wanted to, like, give them a personal shout out. Just all of the narrators and Savannah, too, who has just coordinated everything. It's been great. But I do want, on a personal note, I want to say thank you to Mel and Tessa, who have, Tessa, who you've just gone above and beyond with, like, organizing all those authors and sending out emails and keeping us on schedule and on track. And it's just been the most huge task in such a stressful time in all of our lives that you have just done such an amazing job. And I'm so proud of how hard you worked and what a great job you've done.
I know. Oh my God, no.
You've done just such a great job. And Mel, like, with the teasers and, you know, reaching out to everybody and, you know, just making all the posts and the web design and everything. Like, you ladies both have just gone, like, so above and beyond what I thought, like, season one was going to be. And this has been just a great experience. And, you know, fuck it, if we shut this shit down tomorrow, like, you guys have just done an awesome, amazing, stellar job. And I'm just really, really thankful that, you know, that I get to ride your coattails.
Oh, Leah, well, you know, we know you're the lead singer, so.
Yeah. I'm just the lead singer. It wouldn't be a That's podcast all. Without I'm just the talent.
It wouldn't be the same without you, so.
I'm only the talent. It's not a big deal.
You're the voice.
Thank you for saying that and for being so supportive. You're actually like, you know, you're one of these women who lifts other women up, and that's for something I really admire about you, and thank you for that.
Thanks.
That means a lot. And Mel, you like never complain,
no, and
you stay
does.
Up till 3 a.m. doing
so
much
hard.
Shit, so thank
she
you.
She does. She works so
yeah,
hard.
Yeah, you guys were really patting each other in the back here. But,
I know, so.
But we really, this is something that we really, it was tough to pull off, and it's a huge production with a lot of moving parts, and a lot of the time it comes down to the very night before.
Yeah, literally
And
hours.
The very last second.
I like, yeah. Nobody want to panic or anything, but the episode's not loaded.
It's supposed to be live and
I'm
hours.
Just going to throw that out there.
And that's really not anybody's fault. It's just that there's so many components that come into making. You know, we have narrators and they have to send it to the narrator coordinator and she has to send it to her sound guy and the sound guy has to send it back
control,
and then she has to send it to
like
us.
Production and,
and then it all goes to Lola who produces it and then we have to host it. And it's like, we love all of it, but it just, it's so many
it's
different things
parts.
That come into Yeah, it's a lot of different things. So thanks for, you know, being part of this experiment with us.
It's
and we're going to keep doing it.
One.
Thank
it was
you.
Awesome. It's been a lot of fun. We are so pumped for season two. We're a little bit more prepared for season two than we were for season one. Just only slightly.
Knock wood.
Only slightly more prepared. So don't get your hopes up is what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go. Leah, tell them what to do for the last time in season one.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. Do 2019 right.
Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me